Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the San Diego Performance Academy. El Cajon has a new councilwoman, Star Bales, who was appointed by council to fill the vacancy left when Bill Wells was appointed mayor. Star Bales is a Chaldean woman who served on the city's planning commission. She is one of the first, possibly even the first, Chaldean woman to hold a city council seat in the United States. The council members in El Cajon chose her from among 27 people who applied for the vacancy after conducting in-depth interviews over 2 weeks with the other applicants. Council members praise Star Bales' compassion and sense of fairness, as well as her courage for supporting the city's alcohol ordinance to crack down on merchants found to be selling alcohol to children or people with a police record for multiple public drunkenness arrests. The city currently faces a lawsuit by the Neighborhood Market Association challenging that ordinance. Bales cast her vote for the ordinance while on the Planning Commission, even though she has friends who own liquor stores and markets who, along with the Neighborhood Market Association, had pushed for a no vote. Council members also hope that Bales, who speaks Arabic, will also provide key communication with El Cajon's growing population of Middle Eastern immigrants and help heal the rift that has occurred since the resignation of former Mayor Mark Lewis, amid controversial remarks that he made, which were perceived as negative stereotyping of immigrants. While the appointment of Star Bales didn't please everyone, her appointment marks an important step toward healing that divide and uniting the people of El Cajon. East County Magazine reporter Janice Mork was at Tuesday night's council hearing and conducted an exclusive interview with El Cajon's new councilwoman, Star Bales.
This is Janice Mork. I'm here with Star Bales, who was just appointed to fill in the vacant city council seat for the El Cajon City Council. Star, what was your reaction when you found out they had chosen you?
I was very honored, and I have passion in doing good for the people of my city, because the people of my city taught me kindness and taught me unconditional love, taught me the goodness. They showed me what goodness is like since 1982. And so I was very glad, because I felt that being a minority is great. It shouldn't be a reason why, but it is good. And then a female is going to encourage a lot of females to go out there and get in there and try. It's encouraging. And then, you know, the diversity that we have in our city, I understand, because I am a minority. So I think I can relate to a lot of different issues that the city would face. At first, when Council Bob McCon mentioned my name, I cried a little bit. It was a moment, because a lot of candidates had people come and said something good about them. I just have my husband here. So it was just nice to hear somebody says something nice about you.
Very nice. And how supportive was your family when they found out that you were running for city council?
When I got a phone call and said the U.S. Army needs help, I made my decision right there and then, because I knew my family was going to support me no matter what kind of decision I make. And also, I've done so much volunteers that they just considered it just another volunteer thing that Star's getting herself into. And they're proud of me, and they're happy. They know that makes me happy, so they allow me. They're happy for me. It's not an easy job. And I've been in the planning commission for years. It wasn't easy. Some of the issues, and I like to challenge to make things good. I want the good to win. I want the best for the people of my city. So I enjoyed the challenge.
And how long have you wanted to run for city council?
I didn't even think about it till recently, especially with the deemed approved ordinance. That ordinance was very important, but at first, there was a lot of people that were not sure what it is, and they were afraid because they're business owners. But slowly and surely, when I spoke with one store owner, one after another, it reduced some of that fear, and then they were a little bit more helpful. helpful, actually. They would give me ideas of, oh, you know what, we could do this. If we do this, this will help the city and not have so many homeless or the nuisance. They were giving me some ideas. But unfortunately, the neighborhood market, honestly, I don't think they care enough to do their own research and see how harmful it is if we just leave the alcohol stores and do whatever they're doing the way they are doing business now. And for that reason, also, I got a little more encouraged, just naturally, because in the council, they have a little bit more power. They have a little bit more say-so than the planning commission. I wanted to be there because I care. I know what's right from wrong, especially with the alcohol. And so that encouraged me that much more because they were trying to resist. They were trying to win their idea, their thoughts about what to do about the alcohol-related crimes we have in our city. They didn't have a good idea. They didn't have anything for that reason and many others. If the city faces, I want to be there because I study it and I research it and I make sure that it's fair. That's what we need, fairness.
Thank you for speaking with us today, Star.
A teacher's strike may be looming in the Alpine Union School District. The Alpine Union School Board has voted unanimously to slash pay and benefits just before Christmas for teachers by an average of 30%. The cuts will take effect in January. Full-time teachers stand to lose $1,400 to $1,600 a month. Teachers fear losing their homes with such deep cuts, so in January, the teachers' union will vote on whether to go on strike. Superintendent Tom Pellegrino pushed through the vote at the December 10th meeting without allowing all teachers present to speak, a move that led to angry shouts from some in the audience during the heated meeting. In an open letter to the school board published by the Alpine Community Network, Allison Knight Ford, wife and daughter of teachers in the district, as well as a parent with children in Alpine schools, called on the board to resign. "Your actions have caused a massive wave of upset among the parents and teachers of this community," she wrote, adding, "I have never felt this worried or concerned for my little child's future." She added that she and her husband are considering removing their children from the school system. Superintendent Tom Pellegrino attempted to justify the cuts. He stated, "If we had the money to give the teachers, we would give it." Ramey Haygood sharply criticized Pellegrino's conduct at the meeting. "To impose the changes in the middle of the meeting before everyone had the opportunity to speak was extremely disrespectful and unnecessary. They should be ashamed of themselves," she posted at the Alpine Community Network. Many teachers have criticized the superintendent for maintaining a hefty salary and travel allowance while asking deep sacrifices of teachers. Lou Russo, a parent in the district, says alternatives should be considered, including potentially teacher layoffs, closing a school, and cutting back on administrative costs. The district blames its economic woes on rising health costs, state budget cuts, and declining enrollment. But teachers say those problems have been known for years, and they are prepared to strike. "If we go out on strike, that's even more money out of pocket, but I'm willing to do that," said Beth Brenaham, who has taught here for nearly three decades. She concluded that it's time for teachers to take a stand. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week. As we quickly approach the holidays this week, Destination East County brings you more holiday events and activities, including neighborhoods lit up for the season, as well as other fun events happening all over East County, like art exhibits, a motocross event, and lots of seasonal hiking. A Red Door Christmas is a play that takes a trip down memory lane and celebrates the little joys that make Christmas magical. Performances run from Wednesday, December 12th through Sunday, December 22nd at the Red Door Playhouse on Pioneer Way in El Cajon. Christian Youth Theater San Diego presents a show that takes the commercial racket out of the holidays and brings it back to the basics, like Charlie Brown without the right tree, Ralphie without his Red Ryder BB gun, and The Who's without their presents. Performances are on Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays at varying times. Their website at cytsandiego.org has more information. A winter solstice hike up Cowles Mountain on Friday, December 20th from 6 to 8 a.m. will be led by a Mission Trails Regional Park Trail Guide. Participants can bundle up for this pre-dawn walk up Cowles Mountain to visit a Kumeyaay spiritual site and observe the phenomenon of rising sun rays, visually split in half, by distant Lions Peak boulders. Those interested can meet at the staging area. The Polar Express story is the selection for the All About Books read-along and activities at the Lakeside Library this Friday, December 20th, for children K through 3 from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. The Lakeside Library will also be offering a cookie decorating activity class on Saturday, December 21st from 2 to 3 p.m. for the whole family. Participants can decorate a gingerbread man or other cookie for a tasty holiday treat. Our listeners who wish to take in Christmas lights and decorations can head to several neighborhood homes in East County to drive by and enjoy these sights. In El Cajon, Jingle Bell Hill, known as Pepper Drive Lights, in the area of Solomon Avenue, Pea Green Place, and surrounding area off Highway 67 and Bradley Drive, will be participating through December 26th. At 1838 El Pico Drive off Hacienda Drive in El Cajon, a 50-year tradition continues with a 20-foot star that is 100 feet high, along with a 55-foot train. At 7390 Stanford Avenue in La Mesa, there are lights on miniature trees, house, and lawn with Santa and his reindeer and several giant inflatables. Also in La Mesa, at 6266 DeCamp Drive, there is a 22-foot tree of lights, penguins, and more, with the lights synchronized to 88.5 FM, featuring over 15 Christmas songs. At Lemon Grove, 689 Meadowbrook Drive off Hamishaw Road, south of Lemon Grove, Santa and Mrs. Claus may be out until December 23rd, while 2618 Sherry Lane has a cul-de-sac that turns into Santa Claus Lane each December. A light show starts there at 6:30 p.m. and plays every 30 minutes. You can listen on 89.9 FM until January 1st from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. Happy Lights Ramona is lit up with 20,000-plus lights, animated to music broadcast to 106.9 FM Sunday through Thursday from 5:30 to 10 p.m. and 5:30 to 11 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. This light show will be up till January 1st. In San Carlos, in the block of 7900 and 8000 Hill and Dale Drive off Mission Gorge in Deerfield, there are displays through December 31st in the evenings till 9 p.m. Santee has Sunburst Santee on Tomel Court off Magnolia, where many homes in Starlight Circle participate till December 26th from 7 to 10 p.m. Also in Santee at 9773 Row Drive, 27,000 Christmas lights dance to 10 songs over 128 computer-controlled channels through December 31st. Food Bank and American Cancer Society donations are accepted, and visitors can go to www.dbchristmas.com. Lastly, Lakeside has displays of Tinseltown through December 25th, including 20 houses at 10248 Paseo Palmas Drive and at 13518 Appaloosa Drive, where there are 48 channels of lights that twinkle to 88.1 FM through January 1st. Birding enthusiasts can join Mission Trails Regional Park birding guide Jean Raymond on Saturday, December 21st at 8 a.m. in a search for resident migratory water and landlubbers of sage and chaparral. The group will also seek the tricolored blackbird found year-round only in California. It is recommended that participants bring binoculars and a bird book and meet at the parking lot off Kiowa Drive on the east side of the lake. This event lasts for 2 hours. A free racing event, the FM Xmas Big Whip Invitational Motocross, takes place at Sequan Casino on Saturday, December 21st, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. This is Supercross racing with Ricky Carmichael and Carrie Hart, and you must be at least 18 years old. Hiking enthusiasts can join the Akumba Hikers and Walkers on Saturday, December 21st, for an extreme hike to Motero Palms and then the Goat Canyon area. The group will be taking Route S2 from Ocotillo, hiking up the canyon to a palm grove known as Motero Palms, passing about a half dozen moteros or grinding holes along the way. Then the group will tackle the rugged and difficult stretch to Goat Canyon, where they will be able to view the 200-foot-high railroad trestle over the canyon. Again, this hike is rated extreme and is for experienced hikers only. Participants can meet at 8 a.m. at the Imperial Valley Desert Museum at 11 West Frontage Road in Ocotillo. No dogs on this hike, please. The El Cajon Library and So Say We All have been providing an hour-long memoir and nonfiction writing workshop every Thursday evening called You Are Your Story. The last class will be on Thursday, December 19th from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at East Douglas Avenue in El Cajon. Some ongoing events to help make the season fun are Viejas Ice Rink inside Viejas Outlets in Alpine, and it is open through January 5th. Skaters can lace up their skates and go, while spectators can grab a cup of hot cocoa or snacks by the rink and take in the sights and holiday music and decor. A Julian specialty, the Julian Christmas Train Express, will be running through December 31st, where guests can take a one-mile train ride to an 1870 gold rush mine with some surprises along the way. Dr. Seuss Muralist Exhibition will only last until the end of December. The Lemon Grove Historical Society has been presenting a retrospective exhibition of work by Ed Roxburgh, noted muralist, carver, and book illustrator, during November and December in the Lemon Grove Library on School Lane in Lemon Grove. The exhibit will be open Monday through Saturday during library hours. Paintings and illustrations will be accompanied by photographs of the artist at work on the Dr. Seuss mural at the Old Globe Theater and other major projects. Admission is free. In Julian on Sundays, guests can enjoy Music at the Marketplace, a year-round family-friendly event. It has live local music and barbecue and is held at Winola Farms Marketplace, adjacent to Winola's Daily Perk Coffee Shop and Orfila Winery. Located at 4470 Julian Road, it is 3 miles west of Main Street in Julian. All of these events and more can be found on our calendar and in our festival and events section at www.eastcountymagazine.org. See you around, East County.
This is Leon Thompson with the Crime Beat Report. This story falls into the how low can you go category. On Wednesday evening, two crooks stole donations out of a red Salvation Army kettle in front of a Walmart store off Los Coches Road in Lakeside. One thief distracted the bell ringer while his partner in crime stole about $150 to $200 in cash. Captain Terry Masango with the Salvation Army in El Cajon said it broke his heart that someone would steal money meant to help the poor. If they had just come to us and said, "We're hungry," we would have helped them, he said, UT San Diego reported. Fundraising has been down from last year, and the loss makes it harder to brighten the holidays for local children and their families. Captain Masango asked the public to keep a watchful eye on volunteers, and donations are welcome to make up for the losses due to these Grinches who spirited away funds meant for families in need.
This is Miriam Raftery with an education report. Back in May, the San Diego Grand Jury issued a report urging the Grossmont Union High School District to declare unconditionally, by December 31st, if they are or are not going to build the 12th high school using funds from Propositions H and U. The report, titled "Fool Me Once, Fool Me Twice," criticized the district board for failing to build the school despite voters twice approving bond measures to fund the new school in Alpine, as we have previously reported. The grand jury concluded, residents of the Grossmont Union High School District and the greater Alpine area deserve clarity from the school board regarding the proposed 12th high school. But last week, the board issued the following brief media statement, which falls far short of the unconditional statement of clarity to district residents that the grand jury sought. Quote, "It is the intent of the Grossmont Union High School District Board of Trustees to give serious consideration to construct the 12th high school." But the board statement went on to add two conditions to its consideration of constructing the long-awaited Alpine High School. First, consideration would occur only after district-wide enrollment at the existing high school sites, including two current charter schools, equals or exceeds 23,245 students at the time construction bids are requested and when the construction begins and when it's completed. The second condition is restoration of ADA, average daily attendance funding, for the district to the level it was at the time Prop U was passed in 2008. Only if both of these occur would the governing board review and consider resumption of the construction process, and even then the board has offered no guarantee that the high school would ever be built. Board member Priscilla Schreiber has issued a scathing criticism of the board majority's action. She told East County Magazine that the board's media statement in no way satisfies what she believes the grand jury recommended. She added, "How long has the Alpine community heard that it is the intent of the Grossmont Union High School District to seriously consider the construction of a 12th high school? Let me count the ways." In an email to us, she went on to list the many promises made, starting with a joint resolution back in 2002, conditioned on Alpine Union High School District dropping its plans to unify and expand beyond elementary to include high schools. Then came Prop H in 2004, with language that included $5 million toward the high school effort. When those funds ran out, voters approved Prop H in 2008, which included $19 million for the high school. The district acquired property but never built the school. In June 2012, under the board leadership of Robert Shields and Jim Kelly, Schreiber recalls, the community of Alpine was, quote, betrayed when the building plans that had been submitted were pulled, unbeknownst to the board and the public and without board authority. And then in November 2012, the money available for grading was spread across other district projects at the recommendation of the superintendent and the direction of the board majority. Hence, she says, the board violated its own directive by not completing items that were set forth in the resolution. A resolution meant to bring clarity to the community of Alpine and show the board's good faith intentions. These same intentions are echoed throughout the board majority's response to the grand jury and its long-term commitment to building the school, she said, adding, but there's no good faith, no intentions, because there is no financial commitment to back building the school and there will be no money left in Prop U. The district would have to pass yet another bond measure to build the high school, and the majority of the board know the community will not do that. Thus, the intended consequences of Mr. Kelly's 11th-hour amendment to kill the school in Prop U becomes the reality most of us knew it was designed for, Schreiber said. She added that Alpine residents have been taxed for years with nothing to show for their efforts. The board failed even to build a smaller-scaled-down school and instead spent bond monies on new projects not included in Prop U. Moreover, those new projects relied on matching funds from the state that won't be coming now due to the state's own budget problems. Schreiber, who has long championed the Alpine School, had these final words for Alpine residents and district voters. The intentions by this board are crystal clear. Alpine will not get their school, not get a return on their investment like all our other communities, and will feel the crippling effects in their growth and property values, she concluded. But she added Alpine can take matters into their own hands. They stand together and are committed, can control their own destiny, and finally see a return on their collective investment. Now that control would come through fed-up Alpine parents and voters breaking away from the district and unifying instead with the Alpine Union School District. Ironically, building a new high school would actually have made the district money instead of costing it money, says Doug Dean, while failing to build it will cost the district revenues. Dean chaired the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee for the district and formerly chaired the Education Committee for the San Diego East County Chamber of Commerce. His committee conducted a student recovery report which found the district would gain between 260 and 480 students if Alpine High School was built. That would be students new to the district. At $6,000 per student in ADA money multiplied by even 260, that would be over $1.5 million. Up to $2.8 million at the high end of the range, which means that building the Alpine High School would actually have made the district money, he concluded. Chris Laurie, co-founder of Alpine's K-12 Solutions and an expert on Prop U and Prop H bond financing, has previously said that the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee was kept in the dark about those estimates. It was a complete shock, he said. Sal Casamassima chairs the Alpine High School Citizens Committee, and he called the Grossmont District's media statement issued last week laughable. He said its conditions are bogus. Quote, the enrollment trigger has been satisfied not once but three times, he said. It was Grossmont's failure to issue construction bids when the enrollment levels were satisfied that has not been fulfilled, he added. Thus, Grossmont makes the ludicrous argument that the enrollment trigger remains unsatisfied because of its own failure to act. As for the second condition listed by the district, Casamassima says that was created out of thin air by the board as another obstacle and excuse not to build the school when funds were available. It has no basis in the bond language, he made clear, then concluded. The bottom line is that the statement to the grand jury is a complete fabrication. The facts demonstrate there is no intent to build the Alpine High School, and there is no consideration, much less serious consideration, to constructing the school. Splitting the district and shifting Alpine and neighboring areas into Alpine Union School District now appears to be the only way that Alpine is likely to ever get a high school. Casamassima concluded, faced with this ongoing distortion of the truth and facts by Grossmont and their defiance of the grand jury's recommendations, the Alpine unification effort continues unabated. This is a public service announcement for the Mountain Health and Community Services. Mountain Health and Community Services is looking for a happy ending for a Christmas toy story. Serving rural areas of East County and other parts of San Diego for over 30 years, the nonprofit health organization needs hundreds of toys donated to give to low-income children at Christmas holiday parties this year. Usually, the organization receives a grant for 400 toys from Mattel Toy, but this year that did not come through. These toys go to underserved kids in Hakumba, Campo, Alpine, downtown San Diego, and Escondido, so they need community help this year to help these children have a happy holiday season. They're asking anybody who can help to provide new unwrapped toys for children of all ages, boys and girls. The organization is also collecting canned and dry foods for the Campo Food Pantry, which helps local low-income families. Items needed include pasta, pasta sauces, tuna, peanut butter, cereals, and similar items. Toys and canned goods can be dropped off until December 17th at the Alpine Family Medicine at 1620 Alpine Boulevard in Alpine, or the Mountain Empire Family Medicine at 3115 Highway 94 in Campo. The holiday parties are always a big event. They include a family meal, crafts, toys for the children, a chat with Santa, and shopping at Santa's workshop. For more information or to volunteer to help the Mountain Health and Community Services with these events, visit www.mtnhealth.org. The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation.
This is Leon Thompson. I'm here with East County Magazine's editor, Miriam Raftery, and we're 2 weeks away from the new year. So we're going to talk about some of the things that have happened in the last year that are significant, relevant, and important. Mm-hmm. So what are the top stories?
Wow. It has really been a very busy year, Leon. We've had lots and lots of important stories out here in East County. I think I'd like to start, though, by talking about a couple of them where our reporting is really making a difference out here. We had a report, an investigative story, where we found that numerous rural fire stations were closed during fire season, sometimes two and three of them at a time, even during red flag alerts.
Yes, in the middle of the summer.
Right.
Boulevard, Hakumba.
And even Campo at times.
And even Campo at times were closed as much as 28 days out of a 30-day month.
That's right. Yeah, Boulevard in particular. And Hakumba, although not as many days, there was a death that resulted out there from someone who'd been unconscious a long time. And who knows if they would have been saved, but quite possibly if help had arrived sooner. But anyway, the upshot of that was there was a big meeting with fire officials and rural community leaders and Supervisor Jacob, and as of right now, I understand funding has been approved to keep those fire stations open 24/7. So that was a really big accomplishment, and we were really proud of our writers and our investigative team on that one. Another one, we had a reader tip who told us that County Veterans Services was not providing any services east of La Mesa. So these folks out in the rural areas, they would have to drive an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, to get to the nearest services, whereas people in the wealthier coastal communities only had to go 5 minutes. Some of them had services, you know, many times a week.
And what's the result of publishing that story?
Supervisor Jacob has put forward a proposal for the county to bring veteran services to every library in the county. And while that's got to come back from staff with approval on the details, it looks like it'll probably go through because the county veteran services themselves and the libraries all agreed this is doable. So hopefully, if you're a veteran out there, especially the disabled veterans, this is really, really important.
Excellent. That's nice to hear. What about the impact of East County Magazine on politics, for instance?
Well, it's hard to measure impact. We're nonpartisan, of course. But certainly what we do is we do get the word out about a lot of the important issues so people understand what's going on. We've got an election coming up next year to watch, so certainly that will be an important thing. But as far as top political stories of this year, I think clearly it would have to be the resignation of two local mayors, Mayor Mark Lewis at El Cajon and Mayor Bob Filner. You know, people may not realize that what happens in San Diego has an impact out here, but one of the first things Bob Filner's temporary replacement, Todd Gloria, did is to reverse a Filner order and decide to drain Lake Morena. There's a temporary mayor doing this. So that, you know, that's obviously a big impact. Mayor Lewis, of course, stepped down for health reasons, but there was also a lot of controversy about some remarks that he'd made about Chaldeans and other minorities in El Cajon. And what we've seen there is sort of a flexing of the political muscle of the minority populations of East County. We have 27 applicants, for instance, for the city council vacancy out there, and a lot of political organizing going on, Chaldeans getting people registered to vote, a new Chaldean chamber forming up. In fact, two new Chaldean chambers, sort of rival chambers that have come forward. So I think that's going to be something to watch next year, and I think we may see some turnaround. There's also term limits on the ballot, or trying to qualify for the ballot in La Mesa, and if that goes through, then potentially you could see some seats, you know, change hands in the future. Some of these long-held seats in La Mesa may turn over.
And what impact has there been on the parks in East County this last year? We had some potential closures.
Well, one of them was Lake Jennings. There was talk about Helix Water District closing it. Some people came forward to speak on that, and so the Helix Water District has ultimately kicked that can down the road a year. They decided to put in a committee to study it and see if a way can be found to save it. And I know they're trying some different things. You can now rent the entire lake out. If somebody has a company and wants a company picnic or a wedding or something, you can rent the whole lake and help save it for everybody else. So those are some things that they are.
Just go to rentalake.com
something
and rent a lake for a day.
Something like that. There you go. Helix Water District.
So then impacted lakes are Morena as well.
Right. The draining of Lake Morena. They're draining.
And that's happening as we speak.
It is. It's being drained by something like two-thirds, I think it is. And the county has expressed huge concern that this could lead to massive fish kills and environmental impacts, so we're going to have to watch and see whether the new mayor of San Diego is going to continue that policy or perhaps stop the draining before it gets down to the lowest levels there.
This last year was the 10-year anniversary of the Cedar Fire.
Yes, it was. And obviously, that's what probably one of the biggest stories ever for East County was the Cedar Fire. A lot's been done to improve safety. We did a lot. We did, as you know, a special radio report on it. We interviewed everybody, fire survivors, fire chiefs, fire officials, burn victims, lots and lots of people on that. And what we really looked at is what things have improved. A lot has, with communication and so forth, for example. But there's also some things that are arguably worse with budget cuts. And I guess the scary part is that pretty much every fire official we talked with said the potential's there. It could happen again, and certainly with climate change, hotter, drier weather, and fewer resources.
Yes, and the brush has grown back. So we have continuous dense native brush from the mountains to the sea.
Well, that's true, and it's obviously very important for listeners in those rural areas, as everyone knows, to
take some personal responsibility for your fire protection too, and clear your defensible space and those things. Another big area where we had a lot of coverage this year was energy and environmental issues, everything from the Quail Brush power plant, which I think was a huge sort of power to the people story. We saw a unifying of people, everybody from Randy Vopel, who's, you know, conservative Tea Party Republican, to Mayor Bob Filner and, you know, some of the liberals on the city council out there, residents in both cities banding together to say, we don't want this thing next to Mission Trails Regional Park. It was a gas-fired power plant. And the PUC, Public Utilities Commission, ultimately said, we don't really need this, at least not at this time. So that's been shelved for the time being.
And will it be brought back, you think?
Possibly. I think SDG&E is putting its energy into trying to get the Pio Pico power plant instead down in the Otay area, which is an industrial area, less community opposition down there. But where we are seeing a lot more focus on energy in East County is the big wind and the big solar projects coming in. We spent a lot of our resources this year investigating things like, why did a multi-ton blade fall off of a wind turbine in Ocotillo?
Didn't we have a video of that?
Photo. We didn't have a video of it actually falling, but we do have a lot of other videos of day after day after day after day of no wind at all.
Right.
There's some real questions.
Right.
Should that project have ever been built? There's mounting evidence that it just simply doesn't have the wind resources to support that kind of a project. Plus,
right,
there's real questions about how safe is this in a public area.
Right.
There's health issues emerging. We also did an expose on dust storms at
yes,
these big projects.
Yes.
We have some amazing video and photos.
Right.
That may be what you're thinking of, Leon. Well, certainly, yeah, some of our information on the dust storm got picked up by United Press International.
Right.
They cited our story in raising questions about, is scraping bare the desert in
a
places
smart
like
thing to do.
Yeah, Texas and Arizona. If you
especially
look at,
with desert fever.
Yeah, valley fever.
Valley fever.
You look at the areas where valley fever is on the rise and where the largest dust storms have been reported, and there is a strong correlation between the largest solar farm in the world, the largest wind farms in some of these places. I mean, to give you an idea of the scale in Ocotillo, these wind turbines are 500 feet tall, and they were dwarfed by these dust storms that looked like something out of the Dust Bowl, or worse, they were several thousand feet tall, 2,000, 3,000 feet tall, just washing over the town and obliterating, wiping out the side of these turbines.
Now, isn't the valley fever you're talking about on the upswing in those desert areas?
It certainly is in California and in Arizona, and we don't really know about Imperial County because they don't have the same reporting requirements that some of the other places do, but that's definitely a question that's being raised and that's being looked at. Another question is this whole scandal involving eagles. David Bittner, who was the expert
that's
relied
right.
upon to do the eagle studies, the raptor birds of prey studies.
He's the one with the birds in the freezer?
Yeah, I had a bunch of dead birds in the freezer that were under the Migratory Treaty Act. He wasn't licensed, hadn't been for years and years and years and years and years, was convicted
and
in federal court.
He was paid as a consultant.
Was paid over $600,000 as a consultant to write the reports for Iberdrola on the Thule Wind Project in McCain Valley, for Ocotillo, Pattern Energy's project, wind project, and many other large energy projects, and kept concluding that they don't pose threats to eagles, and yet he was convicted in federal court of taking a golden eagle without a permit. He had all these dead birds. So there's some very serious issues about whether that study should be redone. And
so speaking of high in the sky,
yeah,
what other issues have been big in East County that'll impact
drones?
Our area? Yes.
Drones, by the end of the year, it's supposed to be announced whether or not East County and San Diego will be one of the federal drone testing areas. And, of course, we were up covering a town meeting up in Julian about this issue. A lot of concerns there. Drones are one of those issues where there's pros and cons. There's some very positive uses of them for things like search and rescue operations, finding people lost in the woods, you know, that kind of thing. But or in disasters, but they can also have some sort of big brother aspects. Do we want to be, you know, spied upon? Do we want the government to be able to see everything we're doing all the time? And plus there's risks of crashes, potentially fires in East County as well. So it's going to be very interesting. I think that's one of the big issues to watch going
Absolutely.
Forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It also leads to our biggest crime story. In the last year. Wasn't there a drone involved in finding?
Well, I asked Sheriff Gordon. Actually, he said No.
Oh.
You're talking about the Hannah Anderson case.
Right.
And certainly the search for Hannah Anderson in the wilderness of Idaho, that would be an example where if they had had drones deployed, that might have aided in that kind of case. I don't believe they were, at least Sheriff Gore had told me that they were not. But certainly the Hannah Anderson case is one that was closely watched all over East County. She was, of course, the missing lakeside teenager who was reportedly abducted, taken to Idaho, and her abductor set fire to his house boulevard in the fire that killed her mother and her brother. So that's certainly been a very major case. It started a essentially nationwide manhunt for Hannah Anderson and her abductor.
What big sports news is there in East County?
Well, unquestionably, the top sports story of the year out here was Jimmy Johnson, who grew up out here in El Cajon and Santee. And he won his sixth sprint championship with NASCAR after he's won just about everything else there is to win in NASCAR multiple times over. And now the national sports magazines are starting to refer to him as one of the most winning athletes in any sport. I think he's behind Tiger Woods and one other athlete I don't recall the name of right now. But he's definitely getting up there, getting a name throughout the sports world. And he's a local East County hometown hero.
And what is the biggest education story of the last year? I know there's several.
Well, I think the biggest one for East County would have to be this whole battle over whether or not to build the 12th high school in Alpine or for the Grossmont Union High School District. There was a grand jury report that concluded that the district needed to provide clarity to residents about this. They'd been accused of using bond money for other projects not in the bond while failing to fund the Alpine High School, despite two bond measures approved for this. And yet, here at year's end, they came out with a media statement. The grand jury report said this had to be unconditional, an unconditional statement, and yet they put a statement out with two conditions, both rather vague, and they keep making it a moving target. And so I think what you're going to see resulting from this, Leon, if I can look into my crystal ball for a minute, is I really think we're likely to see a split in that district with parents in Alpine and the surrounding neighborhoods putting unification forward with the Alpine Union School District to make it a high school district, not just elementary, which is going to mean the ADA money is going to be going not to the Grossmont Union High School District for all those parents' children, but instead to the Alpine District so that eventually they'll be able to build the high school out there. And that's my prediction, and we'll see if that happens.
Well, we'll see. Now, there's federal news that's impacted East County, state, county, and city. I mean, when you think about it, there's four tiers.
Correct.
And East County Magazine has been there to report the impact of those.
Well, we have. Although we're primarily a local publication, certainly we would be remiss if we didn't talk about how what happens in Washington, D.C. and Sacramento and downtown San Diego impacts us out here. At the state level, obviously, the state was going through a budget crisis. Finally, at year's end, they're back in the black, not the red. So that's going to be easing somewhat, and the battle going forward will be who gets a piece of the pie and what funding gets restored and how long that takes. But that's affected everything from education. We saw redevelopment go away, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. At the federal level, we've seen everything from the battle over the budgets, the national debt, the fiscal cliff. For the first time in our nation's history, we were pushed to the brink and very, very nearly by the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party, very nearly went over that fiscal cliff and defaulted on the nation's debt. And now at year's end, we're seeing a budget, looks like, getting approved without all of these, you know, shenanigans. So maybe both sides are learning the art of compromise a little bit. On the Democratic side, we saw the health care reform bill, the Affordable Care Act, finally rolling out. That's helping a lot of poor people get health care. There's also some issues with it. There's some people in the middle falling between the cracks, and there's some talk about whether to tweak it or fix it, as the Democrats are wanting to do, or repeal it, as the Republicans keep wanting to do. So I think that's a moving target. We've also seen cuts in things like food stamps and failure by Congress to renew the farm bill at all. So those are going to be big things to watch for next year that would certainly impact a lot of people in East County, as would immigration reform, whether that occurs or not in the final years of the Obama administration.
and the county of San Diego rolling out the CFA, the County Fire Authority, over the next year, too, is something that we'll closely be watching.
Yes, I would actually say that could be one of the most important issues of all for East mm-hmm. County. A county fire authority, in theory, is a good thing. It has a potential to improve coordination of firefighting resources, but we've seen a lot of really major glitches in the rollout of that, and we've seen some towns standing up and saying, we don't want it. Julian went forward and got a donor to donate money so that they would not have to be taken over by the county fire authority. And we've seen, as we talked about, some issues with some fire stations that were closed, some of those in the county fire authority, some not. Issues of, you know, things like computers coming out to stations with no software on them at all. So, you know, the devil is always in the details on these things, Leon, and they also have to figure out how not to lose all those good volunteers. They increase the training requirements, which sounds like a great thing. We want qualified firefighters, right? But on the other hand, if we're losing all the volunteers and there's nobody there when the fire alarm comes in, that's not such a good thing. So I think that's something all East County residents should really keep an eye on in the coming year.
So what other stories could we look forward to in the next year coming up?
Well, I think what happens with Thule Wind in McCain Valley is of huge interest to many people. That's, of course, our land, our public land, federal recreation area. Mm-hmm. And the federal government approved Thule Wind there, county mm-hmm. supervisors too. But it isn't over till it's over. The company, Iberdrola, could possibly still decide not to build it. Iberdrola in other areas has canceled some projects that were marginal for them financially. There are lawsuits. The Protect Our Communities Foundation has filed a suit. Some others may be coming down the pike. So I think, you know, if we see a large amount of public opposition or groups that use that, you know, come forward, if it becomes too expensive for the company or just too controversial, there's always a possibility that could be canceled. But if not, we're really going to see the destruction of the McCain Valley. A lot of the beautiful areas out there, and I think people haven't been there in a while. Recreational users may be very surprised at what occurs.
KNSJ's able to reach downtown and the inner city, and there's many people. In fact, the majority of the people who visit these parks and take advantage of our backcountry facilities and recreational areas, and this seems to be a very appropriate time for the people in the city to stand up for us people out here in the backcountry.
Well, a lot of people in the backcountry have been saying that for a long time, that, you know, it seems like, I know there's a lot of people out here who've gone into San Diego when there's issues at stake about something happening in the beaches or Balboa Park or the freeways, and then when it's their issues in the rural areas, they say, where is everybody? These people that come out, that like to come out and hike and play and go boating and fishing, where are they when we have something like the draining of Lake Morena or the destruction
of
McCain Valley?
Now, there's maybe hundreds of votes out at Lake Morena.
Yeah.
Right? But all these people who enjoy that lovely recreational area and go fishing out there are down in the city, and there's hundreds of thousands of votes down there.
That's true.
So probably most people don't realize this, but the city of San Diego owns the water in Lake Morena.
There you go.
So that's how city people can help us out in the country while helping themselves as well.
Yeah, there you go. If anyone doesn't like that, drop a line to Todd Gloria, the city council down there, and the new mayor or the mayoral candidates, and let them know that saving Lake Morena is important to you. I was rather shocked to find out that they really haven't done much to ask people to conserve. I mean, it's been a pretty please conserve water, but there's been nothing mandatory. They're not asking people to water their yard certain days of the week or not wash your car in your driveway. Instead, they're just draining the lake basically because they can.
Because they can. Mm-hmm. And they didn't seem to be looking for alternatives.
No.
Very hard, anyway. I know that they can buy water from the county.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other ways to do it, but they would have to raise $1.3 million to do it, but that's what would save Lake Morena.
Yeah, water issues are huge in East County, mm-hmm. always have been, always will be. On a positive note, one thing that I think has been pretty cool going on in the last year is we've seen a real resurgence in interest in our history and our cultural roots in East County. We have seen La Mesa and El Cajon both celebrated their centennials. El Cajon just adopted a new logo and slogan, Valley of Opportunity. La Mesa, of course, has their Centennial Legacy Project, but we've seen a lot going on to put people in touch with the rich history of our region. The Sequan tribe came out with a documentary film on the history of the Kumeyaay people, which was absolutely fascinating, both heartbreaking and inspiring at the same time. And coming up for the next year, Hakumba Hot Springs is going to be celebrating its centennial. I think our quirkiest and most fun story of the year had to be what happened with Hakumba Hot Springs. You know, this was virtually almost a ghost town out there.
Yes.
And with the closure of the spa, the hot springs that had been the big tourism draw, you know, it was really a struggling community.
Ghost town.
But the townspeople went to a local businessman who owned the clothing optional resort out there, of all things, Dianza Resort, asked him, would you come in and buy the spa to get it reopened and get tourism going again? So he did. And in the process of taking back this deed of trust, he found out that he owned 29 other properties and he had just bought downtown Hakumba. Or Hakumba Hot Springs, actually petitioned the state and got their historic name back. So they've got some big plans. The Centennial, I understand they're going to have a big music festival and arts festival, and they're bringing in, they've brought in statues from the guy that built the statues out in Borrego Springs.
Oh,
there's
yes.
now a 1,200-pound rattlesnake
statue
out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of just falls into that. It's cool
mm-hmm.
factor. So keep an eye on Hakumba Hot Springs, I think, for the coming year.
Well, Hakumba is about as East County as you can get
without
being out in practically
it
in
is
Imperial.
The closest thing to the county line in Imperial.
But
County.
East County Magazine covers it all in East County and live and original and relevant.
We do. I also want to talk just about the basic goodness of people in East County, too. And we have had a lot of heartwarming stories this year, too. We've had a community coming forward out in Potrero to help Del Fowler's son, Jerry Fowler, who fell down the well. You know, town after town, you see this, people coming together to help those in need. The tribes, the generosity of the tribes seems to just keep growing and growing. At year end, we had Verona announcing a large grant to help Clover Flat Elementary School in one of the poorest districts in East County to be able to afford to buy technology and get the kids utilizing technology. We saw Viejas breaking all records for the county for an organization donating the most toys ever, over 12,000 of them, for the East County Toy and Food Drive. So there's just a lot of good people out here. And also the East County Performing Arts Center, I think, is an issue to watch for next year. The council's finally voiced unanimous approval to get it reopened. They're saying it's going to happen by the end of 2014. So we're going to watch and see. But if so, I think that could really be a centerpiece in revitalizing El Cajon and, frankly, all of East County.
And get on East County Magazine's weekly mailing list by subscribing online.
There you go. Subscriptions are free, by the way.
Absolutely free. And along with it comes wildfire alerts and emergency
mm-hmm.
alerts.
That's right. You can get
as well as events and
you get
happenings
on our special
in East
invitation
County.
For our readers-only events that we have, all
Absolutely.
Kinds of them.
In fact, our annual holiday party was graced by Susan Davis.
We just had that.
We just expanded her district to include more of East County, and she's reaching out. And she was there.
Well, she is. You know, in the past, we've had many of our leaders from both sides of the aisle there. We did this year. We had Christine Alicio, who's one of the new councilwomen from La Mesa. Past years, we've had our members of the Assembly, State Senate.
Joel Anderson.
Joel Anderson's been there in past years. We've had Councilman Kendrick in the past. So it's a good way for people to come meet and greet our elected officials, our VIPs, and we consider all our readers really to be our VIPs because it's the support of the whole community.
Exactly.
The ideas that you give us for stories, the tips. You are our eyes and ears, our listeners, our readers. People send us photos. You know, when we have a fire, it's very often my readers that'll send us video at the scene. They'll tell us about stories. They'll give us tips. But all these different ways that people can help, they can volunteer, they can get involved. It's a great way to get writing experience. We train community journalists. People say, how do you do so much and do so many more stories
yes.
and win all these awards when you're operating at a fraction of the budget of, say, UT San Diego or the big TV stations? And it's uh-huh. because we're people-powered. We're your community radio station and your community magazine online at eastcountymagazine.org.
congratulations to you, Miriam, for creating a truly community magazine.
Well, thank you. I certainly didn't do it alone. We've had an awful lot of support. Definitely have to credit Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, the County of San Diego. We got a grant this year to help us with our Destination East County segment, telling you all about the festivals, the events, things like that. We've had support from the San Diego Foundation for Change in the past, and certainly the San Diego Performance Academy that generously allows us to tape this show each week at the studio. So we're very grateful for all of that, for all the community sponsors and readers and listeners, and just the huge support that we have from all of you.
Is what helps us fulfill our mission to reflect all voices and views in East County, especially those that are underrepresented in other media. It's been an amazing year, and we're looking forward to whatever 2014 will bring. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.